Right. Well, for our message today, first of all, welcome to 2026, a new year ahead of us. I'm looking forward to pursuing Jesus more with you this year and seeing where God leads us as a church family. For the message today, I want to pick back our exploration up of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from where we left off before the beginning of Advent. So if you'd like to open up your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, that is where we'll be starting things today. And as we turn to that, I just want to give a couple of reminders and highlights from the first part of this series in chapter 5 of Matthew, where we looked at the Beatitudes and considered the examples Jesus gave after that of how we ought to live as Christians. So first reminder is that first Beatitude, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is foundational to everything else Jesus taught in the sermon. We talked about the fact that being poor in spirit means being spiritually destitute, knowing that we cannot provide for ourselves spiritually. We cannot do the things of God on our own. We desperately need Him. So to be poor in spirit is to be completely dependent on God, and that is the foundation for all of our life in Christ. The next reminder is that Jesus calls on us to cherish and to teach all of God's word, to pursue devotion to Him with all of our hearts, knowing that we need Him in our lives to accomplish that. He, throughout this message, elevated the standard from living out the letter of the law, of minimal obedience to God, to wholehearted devotion to God's desires. He doesn't want us to just get by. He wants us to be all in, fully devoted to Him. And finally, Jesus called on us to come together as people, to set aside retaliations and anger and hatred, but to love one another deeply, even to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. These are the foundations of the message that Jesus was bringing to us throughout Matthew 5. Now, as we move on to Matthew 6, Jesus' focus is going to shift slightly. In Matthew 5, he focused primarily on the attitudes of someone devoted to God. And in this next chapter, he focuses a bit more on living that righteous life out. And how do we take those attitudes that are the foundation of life in chapter 5 and apply them to life with a God-centered motive? So for today, we're going to look at just the first few verses of chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And the message here is pretty straightforward. Jesus is addressing our motives for righteous living. So let's read that together. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now Jesus begins with a warning. He says to be careful or to beware about how you practice your righteousness in front of others. And this is an important follow-up to what he said in chapter 5 about being salt and light in the world. He says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, to not cover that light up, to let it shine. And so we are to live the righteousness of God in front of others, for others to see. We ought to be out there living as God teaches us to live. We are to let the light of Christ shine through us. And that means that Jesus will see how we live differently than them. We'll see how we choose to live for God instead. The good works you do for God should be seen and understood by others in order for Jesus to be known through us. But we need to be careful in our motive in how we do that work and how we live that life out. Jesus often called out the Pharisees for their motives. They were very careful to live out the letter of the law, careful to tithe every tiny bit of produce that they had, Jesus said. Yet their hearts were in the wrong place. They were seeking power and prominence and pride in return for what they did. They were seeking something for themselves, they wanted to be seen by others for their good works, for their own selfish gain. And so we too need to consider why we do what we do as followers of Christ. Jesus warns us not to practice our righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. We don't do it so that others will notice us. And he uses giving to the needy as the example here. It's good to give to the needy. It demonstrates compassion and generosity and love. But we need to ask who we're doing it for. Are we doing it for ourselves? Are we seeking to gain notoriety and as a generous, caring person? Are we using care for others as a way to gain some kind of prominence for ourselves? Do we just want to appear godly to other people? Or are we just wanting people to see the good things that we do so that they have a good opinion of us? People who do good deeds with these kinds of motives are doing them to be seen. They're doing them to get something for themselves, so they should not expect a reward from God. Their reward is the recognition that they get from other people. So Jesus calls us to have a pure, God-centered motive in what we do for him. As we seek to serve God and live according to his will, we ought to do so with a heart that is centered on him rather than ourselves. To do your acts of righteousness with a desire to honor God and nothing else, so that he could be known, that we could demonstrate love for him. So Jesus says to let your giving be done in secret, so that your reward can be done from the Father. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that no one's ever going to know that you've given to others. It doesn't mean that you have to hide it and make sure that no one ever sees or hears about it. But it means that you're not doing it for selfish gain. You don't go around announcing it or blowing trumpets like Jesus said, saying, hey, look at me, look what I did. Discussing it for the sake of getting attention or getting something for yourself. It means you do it for the Lord's sake, seeking to honor and obey him. But this raises a question, I think, that can cause some confusion. Jesus says that our reward will be from the Father when we do these things in secret. Well, what kind of rewards does the Father give? What exactly should we expect in return for practicing righteous living for God? And is it even okay to consider what rewards we get from God? Doesn't that just come back to being selfish and wanting something for ourselves? How do we understand this gift that God gives for those who give with pure motives? So I'll address that last part first. What is it? Is it selfish to even consider rewards from God? Well, whether or not that's selfish depends on how we understand our relationship with God. Is our relationship with God a transactional one? Meaning, you do things for him and he pays you in return. Is that what life in Christ is about? No, we know that. That's not what the Bible says, right? If so, then the rewards that Jesus is talking about are like the wages we earn. And that would be selfish. That's not how the Bible describes our connection. That's how the Pharisees lived. They expected personal and material rewards in exchange for doing what God says to do. And that leads directly to self-centered service. Of course, the Bible teaches that God loves us and wants to be with us. And he wants us to love and desire to be with him as well. That relationship is meant to be a deep, meaningful, loving fellowship in which God gives of himself freely for our sake. And that kind of fellowship produces rewards that come from knowing God and being known by him. Those rewards are a gift of knowing God. That's the kind of rewards that Jesus is referring to here. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul encourages Christians to give generously. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, he says, "You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." So he points out that if you desire to live righteously by giving generously, even before you do so, God is already going to provide you more than enough that you have something to give away. And he's going to enrich you. And the result of that is that more and more people will give praise to the Lord. And there are so many rewards included in that. It includes the reward of just knowing God's generosity as you receive from him. It includes the reward of joy in participating in his work to enable somebody else to know him. And just the reward of drawing close to God and connecting with him. So I want to consider a little bit some of the rewards that come from serving the Lord purely for his sake. When we perform our acts of righteousness in secret as Jesus commands, we are essentially saying to God, your presence is enough for me. And I will be rewarded in that. The reward that comes from God's presence is a deeper sense of intimacy with him. Gaining a deeper awareness of who he is, what his character is like, what his purposes are in the world. There's the reward of just knowing his love and grace in deeper ways. This growing connection you have, you will be rewarded with a greater confidence that you are his beloved child. The more that you just go out and live for the Lord and live in his presence, the more he draws close to you and the more you understand just how much he cherishes you and loves to be with you. There's great reward in that. And as you grow in confidence as God's beloved child, there becomes a new freedom. A freedom to release any need to prove yourself to other people or to prove yourself to God. You can simply be who you are, loving God freely, embracing both his love and his correction and his guidance with freedom. That freedom rewards you with a greater sense of purpose and ability and a peace about your place in the world. Another reward that comes from serving the Lord is just the joy that comes from seeing him work through you to reach other people. And that's what Paul was referring to. God enriches you to bless somebody else so that they give thanks to the Lord. There is something special about seeing God work through you to benefit somebody else, to see that the light comes on in their life and their lives are changed through Christ. And God gave you a part to play in that. There's a great reward that comes in being proximity to the internal, eternal impact God is making in people's lives. And then you have to really consider the eternal impact in your life as well. A little further in Matthew 6, we're going to read that Jesus says to lay up treasures in heaven. And these rewards that come from God's deepening presence in your lives are eternal. They last forever. Human rewards, the kind of thanks we get in exchange, the good return to us as we do to others, are both rare and short-lived. They really just don't last. But the gifts from God, the gifts that transform us, the gifts that draw us closer to him, the gifts that make an impact in this world are so much more rewarding. They transform your life and remain with you for eternity. The rewards that come from doing your acts of righteousness with and for God are eternal and long-lasting. So is it selfish to want rewards from God? No, not if you understand what he truly offers and desire more of him. These rewards are not wages we earn from God, but gifts offered by our eternal Father who delights in us. And he delights in seeing you grow to be more the person he intended you to be by living in fellowship with him. So as we step into this new year ahead of us, let's seek those eternal rewards that come from a deeper connection with the Lord. Let's go out into the world living as salt and light of Christ with our hearts aligned with God's. May we seek out opportunities to love and serve the Lord, to fulfill those good works God has prepared for us. Not for the applause of others, but to honor and glorify the Lord for eternal rewards. Let's give thanks to him for those opportunities, for the loves that he shows us. Let's pray together, and then we'll close with one more song. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your presence, a gift that reaps such benefits. Help us to understand more fully the ways that you reward us in our interactions with you, the rewards of knowing you and being known by you in deep and meaningful ways. We thank you that you give us opportunity to be part of your plan to redeem people in this world, to change their lives, Lord, and the benefit that is. Help us, Lord, to live with your righteousness, not seeking to gain for ourselves as the Pharisees did, but to seek to gain for you. We ask for your blessing on this church family, Lord, as we continue to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.